Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game. So just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back. All right, all you positive heads, welcome back to another episode of the Positive Head Podcast. So happy to be here with you all, as always and always. Going to dive deep into the subject of compassion today. Before I do, I would like to take a moment and read a review on iTunes. You guys know I love my reviews. Not only do they help us to reach new people, since iTunes is the holy grail of all things podcasting, but they also help to fuel my fire and continue feeling motivated and inspired with this labor of love project. So I appreciate those of you who have reviewed. And if you haven't done so, I would appreciate you if you did. If not, that's okay too. But this one came in by Heatherly HB. Heatherly said, "I've been following this podcast for a while. Thank you for offering 5 days of positivity. Sometimes when a day is filled with everyone's quote unquote reality, I remind them to think more positive thoughts. I try to spread positivity wherever I go. This is the one place and only sometimes where I can refill my batteries. Brandon, you are truly a gift. Your viewership should be multiplied by 10 because everyone that listens to you spreads positivity to everyone they meet." Oh, thank you so much, Heatherly HB. That means the world to me to get your feedback. And so happy to hear that I am inspiring you and you are inspiring others. Isn't the butterfly effect a beautiful thing? You never know that one person that you have an uplifting word to, or you see something beautiful in and you speak it. If you see, you know, you guys have probably heard the quote before. If you see something beautiful in someone, speak it. I love that quote, and I really am striving to embody that more and more. Oftentimes, we may think something nice, and we don't say it. And then how often do we say something where we're agitated, right? You don't really need to worry about ever holding back then because you're so, like, filled with, like, energy to speak that, right? Well, what if we were filled with the same energy to speak something that really inspired us or something beautiful we see in someone else? So, yeah, just a little thought to really go along with the whole theme of today, which is compassion. And this came up for me as a topic that wanted to come through today after seeing, you know, I got up today having my coffee and just checking out some stuff on Facebook. And a friend of mine had shared an article about this guy who at Burning Man a few days ago, on the night of the burn, he ran into the fire and he died. He broke through the barrier and basically committed suicide in front of, you know, everyone. And such a tragic thing to have happen, and for so many to witness. I'm sure it was very traumatic for a lot of people, and I can only imagine his family and friends and, you know, the people that saw it and the pain that obviously he was feeling. Or was he in a state of, you know, was he mentally ill? Was he high on drugs and hadn't slept? What was it? Who knows? But one thing that I think is super important is to, you know, have compassion. And you know, these sorts of events, sometimes you see people who just come out with the, you know, not that they're bad people, just focused on the wrong thing. And a friend had posted the article, and someone's response to it was, "Good, idiot. Anyone who runs into the fire deserves to die." And I just, you know, it just struck me. It's like, wow, where is this person's compassion? You know, this is a son. This is someone's son, or maybe someone's father, or someone's husband, or lover, or best friend, or, you know, what was that? You know, and I had to reply, like, what do you think that person was going through? Do you think maybe they could be mentally disabled? Maybe they just lost a child themselves in a tragedy, and they were so distraught that they did this thing, you know? And, anyway, it just kind of really brought this whole idea of compassion up for me. And I found a quote that I absolutely love by Ram Dass. It says, "I would like my life to be a statement of love and compassion. And where it isn't, that's where my work lies." And if we can all, you know, adopt that, your life statement is one of love and compassion. You're not here. No one's going to care when you die. No one's going to say, how many degrees did they get? How big was their boat? How successful were they, you know, in monetary terms? I believe the only thing any of our souls will want to look at, and it won't be with judgment, it will be with reflection, right? On how much love and compassion did they share? How many people did they touch? How many did they inspire? You know, Salvador Dali said, a true artist is not someone who is inspired, but someone who inspires others. And how can we best inspire others? With compassion, with love, with understanding. If you want others to be happy, practice compassion. If you want to be happy, practice compassion. That's the Dalai Lama. And, you know, it's such a powerful, powerful tool when you start bringing compassion and start to bring the other person's perspective into it. As someone who's always had such passionate viewpoints, it's so easy when someone has a different viewpoint to put up those egoic defenses. And I've had to work really hard at that, you know, and to try and see from other people's viewpoints and know not everyone has seen things the same way as I am. And I encourage everyone to work on that one too. It's a tough one, right? But, you know, I've really been inspired by my own child, my son. You know, I've seen him since he was a little boy. It's like always seeing it from the other person's viewpoint. And it's how I know he's such an old soul. It's like, wow, I can really learn something from this kid. Like what, you know, poise and wisdom, you know, Hazrat Inayat Khan said, while people judge others from their own moral standpoint, the wise person looks also at the point of view of another. So even if we don't agree, we can at least try and understand, get out of our own view, get out of the own way of our own viewpoint to see what someone else was thinking or what where they're coming from. And if we can do that, you know, how much does it bring together the separation? Because it's really these judgments and these ideas that separate us. If you can see that everyone has a different view of the world and a different perspective, and based off their view of the world, they're acting rationally always. How much compassion are we letting into our world? How much is coming through? You know, when you realize that you will feel the repercussions, whatever you're putting out is what you're going to feel back, right? Do you want more compassion? Do you want more love? Do you want more understanding? Do you want people to see your viewpoint more? Seek to see other people's viewpoint more. And certainly drop the judgment if it's different than your own. You know, reacting, instead of reacting, let's proactively seek to see it from all the angles. This is the signature of a wise soul, right? I have a little clip here by the one and only Dr. Wayne Dyer. It's called Compassion is the Key, titled Compassion is the Key. It's by Monkey Keith, or I found it on Monkey Keith's YouTube page. Relatively short clip, but packed with compassionate goodness. Let's take a listen.
There's a widely told story that speaks to the value of compassion. It seems that a woman who lived a Tao-centered life came upon a precious stone while sitting by the banks of a running stream in the mountains, and she placed this highly valued item in her bag. The next day, a hungry traveler approached the woman and asked for something to eat. As she reached into her bag for a crust of bread, the traveler saw the precious stone and imagined how it would provide him with financial security for the remainder of his life. He asked the woman to give the treasure to him, and she did, along with some food. He left ecstatic over his good fortune and the knowledge that he was now secure. A few days later, the traveler returned and handed back the stone to the wise woman. "I've been thinking," he told her. "Although I know how valuable this is, I'm returning it to you in the hopes that you could give me something even more precious." What would that be? The woman inquired. Please give me what you have within yourself that enabled you to give me that stone, said the man. The woman in this story was living her life from a sacred place of compassion, which is the seventh and last principle for an excuses-begone life. Compassion and excuses. It's impossible to need excuses when the focus of life shifts to how may I serve. Thinking of others first, reaching out to them despite how it might inconvenience you, causes you to feel joy, which is what the hungry traveler was actually seeking. This gift of feeling good or feeling God within comes from serving and surrendering rather than asking and demanding. There's no room for blame in your life as long as you live with kindness. And excuses, regardless of their form, are all about blame. Blaming your past, blaming the economy, blaming your perceived personal flaws, blaming God, blaming your parents, blaming your children or your spouse, blaming your DNA. There's no shortage of circumstances, people, and events to blame, and there's no shortage of blame itself. When you shift to compassion, blame disappears. So no matter what you may want for yourself, discover how you can want it more for someone else and then make that shift. In that contemplative moment, compassion will eradicate finger-pointing and trump excuse-making. And you'll begin to think like God thinks, serving, offering, giving, and loving freely. The wise woman in the mountains who gave the precious stone to a stranger had no need to think about poverty or unhappiness, to hold a cynical view toward the greedy masses, or to explain the way she lived her life. Why? Because her ego was out of the picture, and love and service reigned supreme. I've certainly found that when I remember to nurture kindness and courtesy, everything in my life seems to move towards more harmony and peace, to say nothing of how much better I feel when I'm giving rather than wanting. I heard the Dalai Lama speak on compassion some years back, and the essence of his message contained these two points. One, that compassion is the single most important quality that humanity needs to learn. This is the way to find happiness and health and to feel successful. And two, that war and violence would become extinct in one generation if, beginning at the age of 5, children were taught to meditate on compassion for an hour a week for the rest of their lives. Such is the power of a compassionate approach to life, which is truly thinking of others and living by the ancient golden rule. The very second you feel yourself retreating to excuses, repeat the mantra, "How may I serve?" Then act upon the answers you receive. You'll become aligned with universal mind, which is always giving, and the bonus is that you'll notice the universe asking you back, "How may I serve you?" As your compassion for others flows back to you, remember the truth I've written about many times in this book. You do not attract what you want. You attract what you are. So make compassion be what you are.
Wayne Dyer always with so much clarity in his perspective. It's impossible to need excuses when the focus of life shifts to how may I serve. It's impossible to be caught up on your own stuff when it's how may I serve. You know, I love how he says, and he often would say it, feeling good equals feeling God, because that's how God feels. So if you are choosing to resonate with a perspective that's causing you to feel bad, you have stepped out of alignment with God, right? So by choosing a perspective, being more understanding, the more you judge, the more judgment one has is, you know, equal to the amount of ignorance one has, I would say, because you got to understand from everyone is on their own unique place on the path to becoming one with their higher self, with source, re-emerging, remembering, right? And as we all remember, you know, we're different places in that journey, and with different vantage points come different views. If I'm standing on a path that's at the top of a mountain and overlooking a broad valley and I can see for miles and miles, that's one view. If I'm standing, you know, in the thick of the forest and I can only see 5 feet in front of me until it's just nothing but forest. I can't see the forest for the trees. It's another viewpoint, and they're all valid, and they're all necessary to come into who and what we're meant to come and be birthed into, our next greatest and grandest version of self. So if we can just shift, when you shift to compassion, when you know, as Dyer said, no shortage of things to blame, but when you shift to compassion, blame disappears. Discover what you want for yourself and shift to how you can want it for someone else more. Isn't that an interesting concept? We spend our whole lives, how can I get for myself? How can I get for myself? And I always say, and it's something that I'm learning slowly but surely, is you'll see these unique instances where you have the opportunity, in a sense, to give away what you want for yourself to someone else. And I always say, do it, do it, do it, because that is your opportunity. Because what you give, you receive. God equals serving or offering or giving or loving freely, unconditionally. Not I love you if, not I love you but, you know, if you look like me, sound like me, do the same things as me. Unconditional. What has no conditions but one condition? Unconditional love. Let love and service reign supreme. Make that who and what you are. Another quote by Dalai Lama, compassion, he said, and Dyer quoted, compassion is the single most important quality mankind can nurture, or something to that effect, maybe not exactly. When, you know, whenever you're slipping, whenever you're falling off the wagon, so to speak, come back to the mantra, how may I serve? You will always then find the universe asking back, how may I serve you? Isn't that an interesting thing to know? The fact that you understand that and that is a truth right now, by asking how may I serve, the powers that created all things then turn and look at you essentially and say, how may I serve you? This is how you get what you want, by giving it away, because there are no others, right? You don't attract what you want, you attract what you are. So let's be compassion. Let's be love. Let's be non-judgmental. Let's reach further to understand someone else's perspective and certainly not turn on them for being different or having a viewpoint that doesn't match our own. If the world would do this, if the world could learn this, as Dyer said, within a one generation, all war would disappear. And we're getting there. We're slowly getting there. We're slowly but surely, maybe not in one generation, maybe. Who knows? How powerful, how much do you have to give is the question. I know giving this broadcast to you all is such a labor of love, and I'm so grateful for each and every one of you who've been through all of it with me, through the ups and downs and lefts and rights and times that you've questioned what I've said or haven't questioned what I've said and just resonated. It's all so beautiful and it's all so perfect, and I hope we're all growing from it together. I know I am. I appreciate and love all of you. I'm here to serve, and nothing has ever felt better in my life. With that being said, I have a beautiful song to leave you all with. This is by Kangi. The song is called Somnium. Hope you enjoy as much as I do. Love you all.
Do you control the dream?
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 Or does the dream control you?
Or does the dream control you?
control the dream?
Do you control the dream?
Or does the dream control you?
Or does the dream control you?
Let us begin by assuming that everything is a dream, which by and large it is. When we're awake, we have one kind of dream. When we're asleep, we have another. The difference is that we control our daydream, and the dream that comes at night controls us. Daydream. And the dream that comes at night controls us.